say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that loves everything from the Black Forest. Not just the UFOs. We love the ham. We love the cake. We love the gummy bears. You name it. Well, we just like the food. Anyway, this is Hysteria 51.
John does love him some Black Forest Nazis, too, is what we're getting at here.
Wait, it's not... Not
Don't forget the ghosts. I love a good Black Forest ghost. Or Nazi ghost, for that matter. Any dead Nazi, really.
You haven't even been to Germany. Anyway, we are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. My name is John Goforth, and alongside to pick apart this craziness are the preeminent patterings of one Mr. Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. I'm not sure what that means per se, but I'll take it as a compliment because most things about me are complimentary anyway. Anyway, as you mentioned, we're headed to the Black Forest this week to talk everyone's favorite Nazi UFO. Well, Nazis and UFOs, but as soon as they get their hands on it, it just becomes a Nazi UFO.
Sure.
That's just how it works. Whatever it is, I think I see, becomes a Nazi UFO to me. Remember that Tootsie Roll commercial from like the 70s?
I just don't remember the Nazi UFO part of it.
Oh, well, it was subliminal. You know, it was the understood you know.
I thought you were going to tell me that that's just what they ran in Oklahoma.
Well, but before we do that, speaking of more Nazi propaganda, I wanted to touch on something else. As you know, the Snyder Cut of Justice League came out. That might not be Nazi propaganda. I just threw that part in, and it's for the viewers to decide on their own. But it came out last month to lots of love and lots of hate around it. And you actually posted about it on Hysteria Nation, and it was divisive, to say the least.
Yeah.
So I thought we could discuss it on here real quick, because you seem to have a big love for that movie.
Well, okay. So, Nation, if you're one of the few that's not familiar, the movie Justice League came out, originally directed by Zack Snyder, considered his DC universe. They're calling it the Snyderverse. It was Man of Steel, then it was Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. And then and the Justice League was supposed to be the first in a trilogy, really, of and maybe, you know, maybe the final arc of the Snyderverse, who knows. But then not too far into shooting, at some point, Zach had a terrible tragedy in his family. I believe his daughter passed away.
She committed suicide. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he and his wife, who is also a producer on the film, stepped back from the movie. They just, you know, obviously got to take care of their family. So they brought in Joss Whedon, and they created the theatrical release. And Joss reshot a bunch of scenes, made it a lot more comical, lightened it up, added levity where he didn't think there was enough levity.
And it sounds like shit all over everyone involved. It was an absolute terror to work with.
Yeah, yeah. Ray Fisher literally has come out on Twitter and talked about how he felt like Joss Whedon basically harassed him. And
yeah. Well, and now Gail Gadot and Jason Momoa, though their comments are sealed, they have too. And then Charisma Carpenter, who worked with him previously. It's one of those things where you kind of open the floodgates and everyone goes, yeah, he was
an asshole.
Yeah,
that guy is an asshole.
Yeah, you know, so.
So the big fervor has been, we want to see Zack's original vision. There's a lot of movie that was hit the cutting room floor because of this, and we want to see the Snyder Cut. And that internet fervor turned into a reality because we were in the middle of the pandemic and it was hard to cut new stuff or create new movies. And they were launching HBO Max and needed content for it. Warner Brothers did. Thus, we have the release of the Snyder Cut, and it instead of being a 2-hour movie, it is a 4-hour long opus.
Hold on. It's 4 hours and 2 minutes, my friend. Let's not trim that.
It's true. Opus to the Snyderverse. I mean, if you like, or if you like the way that Zack Snyder perceives the DC universe, it revels in it. It rolls around in it and calls it its, you know, best friend. If you don't, you're not going to like this. And so the question is, you know, like, what do you think? It's obviously very different from the movie that came out in theaters. And I asked on Hysteria Nation what everybody thought, and there were some strong opinions. My take on it, Brent, is I loved it. I really like Zack Snyder. I've liked him since, you know, I mean, when we talked about zombies in like our third episode, I mentioned one of my favorite movies ever is Dawn of the Dead. That was one of his original, the remake. And, you know, he went on to do 300 and a number of other things. And so I just love Zack Snyder as a filmmaker. And I love what he did with these characters. And I went back and watched the Ultimate Edition of Batman versus Superman, which was also a bunch of added footage. It was 3 hours long. It's also on HBO Max. And then went and watched this 4-hour in chunks. I didn't do it all in one sitting. This 4-hour thing. And I got to tell you, I loved every bit of it. Is 4 hours too much for one movie? Generally speaking, it is. This is a really special circumstance. I think it would have been better served as 2 or 3 movies, of course, but given the special circumstance, I thought they did a marvelous job with it. The one piece of criticism I've heard that I can get behind, I get, is wow, he likes slow-mo a lot.
There's a lot of slow-mo, like a quarter of the movie's in slow-mo. The other one that I thought was a weird choice, which I just bumped, it's shot in 4:3 for IMAX, and it's not going to be on IMAX, which is a weird flex. I just had my computer.
No, they are going to they are going to release it in IMAX,
but it's not right now. So
it's not right now. You're right.
You know, I just had my TV, upscale it, and I didn't even notice it. You know what I mean? So that wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a weird thing.
It's a weird thing, but it's also a weird thing to be really bothered by that.
Well,
like,
there are
people that have like gone on tangents for paragraph after paragraph on the internet about how this 4:3 thing just cannot stand. Like, well, calm down. It is
weird. I also think it was dumb to release it in that, though. You know, because you're missing large chunks of the movie. But hey, I'm not. You know, those are beyond me. But you gotta understand, we're dealing with people that have no skin in the game. So by God, they're gonna fucking flex their muscles online. You know, they were cracking their fingers before they started typing in all caps and a lot of these things. And it just makes me laugh because, you know, I really like DC characters much more than Marvel in the comic books. Unfortunately, the screen, they've never really transferred well. And this is the best case scenario we've seen for them to be comic book accurate. And I think a lot of people were just so ready to say it sucked and failed before they even saw it because of what it is, because that's society.
Listen, if you don't like it, that's fair. Like, nobody, here.
But don't say fuck me or piss on me because I liked it. Or vice versa.
Right. And I'm not the arbiter of all things comic books. I will say, I think that it's a little misplaced. There are people out there that look at it and they go, this just isn't good as the Marvel stuff. We like the Marvel stuff. It's a little brighter. It's happier. It's blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay, but that's also, if you were a comic book fan and have been a comic book fan, Marvel has also a brighter and happier universe.
Yeah.
Like, DC has always been darker and it's always been different. And that's one of the choices I like from Zach, that you're making everything a little darker because that's what the DC universe has always felt like.
I think that's why I gravitated
like to
towards their characters more, because they had, for a lot of purposes or a lot of times, they had a little bit more grittier tales, but it's all subjective. You didn't like it, it's okay. You don't have to shit on one another. You can do that in the comfort of your own home as long as you're both consensual.
Consenting adults?
Yeah, then shit away.
Now, what will be interesting, I saw a post just the other day from Kevin Smith getting behind, you know, speaking of arbiters of taste, I mean, he is one of the preeminent voices in the comic book world, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And he's all behind it. He's like, restore the Snyderverse. He went on a long rant about it. A couple things have come to light. The new Robert Pattinson Batman is going to be on Earth 2. When I say Earth 2, if you don't know what I'm talking about, because of Flashpoint, there are like infinite Earths and so alternate dimension, alternate realities,
or
infinite Earths,
or 52,
right?
Depending on which version they're going down. But yeah,
that's true. That's true. So they're kind of embracing that in the DCEU so they can continue to have For instance, you know, the CW shows, and they continue to have the movie series, and they might have the same characters played by different actors. And basically the conceit is that they all do exist just on different Earths. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Ezra Miller made a small cameo in the Flash television show when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths. Anyway, the point is, we found out that Robert Pattinson's Batman is Earth 2. So that creates a little bit of little wiggle room if HBO Max and Warner Brothers decided that there was enough money to be made to restore the Snyderverse.
Well, as they already said, like the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix wasn't in the main universe either. Like right. they've done right, right. things like this a lot. It's great. If they want to do it, I hope so. I also saw people going, I can't believe they gave in to people's demands. Well, guess what? These people are the ones that are paying for it. So, you know, hopefully.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that that mentality, because, like, we live in a capitalistic society. Like,
damned if I'm going to listen to my customers.
Yeah, I mean, the people that are going to pay for this shit? No way.
Now you're talking. I fuck them.
Yeah, right. See, well, old Botboo's maestro over there knows what we're talking about.
But that, I mean, that is the approach we take with this podcast. The last people we want to hear from is you, the listener.
But that's just because we're lazy.
That's a joke. Yeah, we don't want to change anything because that would require work. And so, no, I mean, in conclusion, Brent, it sounds we both liked it. I think I liked it more than you did.
No, I did really like it, though. Yeah.
You did like it. Okay.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, I think it had its
flaws. Am looking forward. You know, originally they, another thing I saw, this ties into you. Originally, Zach had written in a Green Lantern to be the, that kind of final scene where the Martian Manhunter.
And they 86'd it. DC said absolutely not, under no circumstances. He actually said in the interview that he threatened to quit and they would not budge. So he made it Martian Manhunter. It was going to be Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart as the Green Lantern that showed up. So.
Which, but that also implies that there's exciting things coming for Green Lantern.
There was a little Easter egg to it. On one of the newspapers, they showed it said, such and such architectural firm is looking for a new head architect, blah, blah, blah. He was an architect. And I think that was like a little nod to like, hey, he's now a Green Lantern, so he's not doing his architecture anymore. And he was a Marine and, you know, all that shit.
There was also a dead lantern in the nightmare sequence, I believe.
That looked to be Kilowog.
Yeah, Kilowog, yep. And then of course there was the lantern in the flashback sequence to the original Mother Boxes.
That's they did a little.
I don't know which one that was,
it's Yalen Gur. He was a former Green Lantern of Space Sector 2814, and people I saw online were like, "He looks so stupid." That is what the motherfucker looks like. They were being honest to what he's supposed to look like.
I'm not a Green Lantern guy like you. So is this character one that was just alive back then and still alive?
No, he's not. He's an old Green Lantern that's not there anymore.
Gotcha.
He was Abin Sur, I believe, is the one who took over after him, and then Hal Jordan took over after that.
Got it. So it's just kind of a known old dude from
not
past.
Known to a lot of people.
Known to people who have rooms full of Green Lantern stuff.
Right. Like, this is like 5,000 plus years ago. So, you know, he was there 5,000 years ago,
I think that whatever is coming for Green Lantern will be cool. I guess they've confirmed there's a HBO Max TV show coming.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, this isn't the DC hour. This is the Nazi hour.
So going from the Snyderverse to darkness
to the Hitlerverse,
let's get into Nazis.
Yes. I can't believe I'm almost excited to exclaim this. It's Nazi week on Hysteria 51.
Getting back to your roots, I see.
Not sure how to take that, John.
Yeah, if you're new to the show, excited is more rooted in our history with doing these episodes and the amount of times the Nazis have come up in other stories that we've told.
Right. When we started out 5 years ago now, you know, we started talking about all the weird shit Nazi hats did. Our first one was with Antarctica. And now we've looked back on it, and it just seems that they have crept their way into so many of these stories, like it or not.
Well, because they dealt in UFOs, they dealt in the occult, they dealt in other Freudian topics. They were believers in all this jazz, and to the point where they sought it out. And then we became known as probably the international foremost experts on the Nazi bell,
well,
according to wartime online.
No, history, war history or, online. Come on now, get whatever. It right. And what was that other? There's another one that quoted us and called us historians.
Well, which is accurate.
The Dikaka, you know, and the Nazi bell we were talking about.
Whatever
that.
The historian version of scientician is. Dikaka. And then we got into...
Pepperidge Farm, remember?
We got into Hitler... allegedly faking his own death, and we spend a lot of time in the Führer bunker.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, and then you know the reptilians and how they you know ruled all that shit, and then the Hollow Earth and how he's down there, and then Argentina, mm-hmm. and you know and how all the Nazis go there, and then the Nazi bell and the Nazis on the moon.
Well,
and
part of the Nazi bell Nazi too was the Wunderwaffe.
Yeah,
the Wunderwaffe, the wonder weapons.
Yeah,
and this was, you know. Listen, all of this, a lot of it's fake, most of it's fake, but the stuff that was it's one of those things that's rooted in a kernel of truth. And that's the slippery slope, but that's also where all of this was the kernel of truth was that Hitler and his henchmen were looking for every advantage, domestic, international, or intergalactic or not, to try to take over the world. And if that came from the help of a gray alien, cool. If that came from the help of an interdimensional traveling band of hippopotamus, great. It didn't matter. They'd take it. And so
everyone knows hippopotami can't interdimensionally travel. And now they're all stupider for hearing you say stuff like that on this show. They come here with an expectation and you shit all over it. Speaking of kernels, you're just shitting kernels of corn all over that. Come on. I
and
apologize,
now we're back.
Nation.
And now we are back. So, Brent, you said that we're back to Nazis this week.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, we're
are we
starting
back to Nazis?
Out Nazis this week. We're not starting out. We're coming back to Nazis this week. We're talking about an incident. And this incident, or I should say, rumored incident.
Oh, you should say rumored.
It's on this
show.
You should. So, rumored is a given.
Good point from, you know, both.
He's
of you.
Right.
Yeah. This is a big one, kids. It's the one they say, they being insert whatever. Entity you want that sent the Nazis down the path of scientific advancement. Supposedly.
Let's be honest. When by they, we mean whatever idiot author penned another fake book in the 90s. The 90s were the decade of, hey, I'm just going to throw the Nazis behind this random thing and say they did it.
Right, unless you look at the 80s, 70s, 60s, or 50s.
Word.
I think it culminated in the 90s.
There was just a lot of it in the 90s. A lot of authors like, oh, yeah, I think the Nazis, they destroyed the pyramids. Wait, the pyramids aren't even destroyed.
Just ask any anonymous source. They'll tell you. They'll back me up. So to learn, though,
it all fits together.
John, to learn about the 30s, we need to make a pit stop in said 90s. Remember that pesky thing called the Iron Curtain?
Barely. I use Manscaped now with promo code Hysteria, so it's gone.
Yeah, thanks, shameless promotion bot. Anyway, so the Iron Curtain we're speaking of was left less shaved off and more toppled over after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. But, you know, semantics. We're splitting hairs here. This led to a lot of reports coming to the light of day. It truly did. A lot of before... this time, a lot of stuff that was classified was just not in the light of day. And then,
well, with the fall of that government, classified documents were no longer classified because the government wasn't in charge.
Or the people that were over them started selling them and things like that, you know. So,
yeah, it's more likely.
Yeah, this stuff sees the light of day. Information starts being leaked out, or at least claimed to have been leaked out. That's a big one. And that's kind of like what you were alluding to. Claims of leaks. And that enters into this week UFO stuff.
It's the classic, can you show us the documents? No, I saw them. I can tell you what was on them because I saw them, but I can't show them to you, silly. I didn't take a picture or
Which,
make
sadly,
a copy or anything
that happens
like that.
A lot, one way or the other, and it happens so much that then we just, you know, people make it up or you know.
Well, the boy who cried wolf, right?
No good. Yeah, exactly. So specifically, though, you know, I said enter the UFO stuff. Specifically, one report we're focusing on this week, and the less on that report, because there's not a lot of information on that, and more of what they say was the aftermath or what it caused. But specifically, so this is the crash UFO or a crash UFO in the Black Forest near Freiburg at some point in the year of our Lord, 1936.
In a row.
Do I think his pop culture chip needs adjusting?
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Don't tease us with heaven.
Like that. Yeah, a few things I'd like to note. First, Black Forest cake is delicious.
Ham's good.
Black Forest ham's great. In preparation for this, you had me watch a documentary about this crash.
I would loosely refer to that as a documentary. An amalgamation of legend stories.
It is. My favorite part about the documentary, Alien Contact, NASA Exposed.
Oh.
available on Prime now, 2.5 stars. So my favorite part about this is like, let's use ancient aliens as an example. I think we can all agree that at least a portion of the information they pass along on ancient aliens is at best conjecture.
Right.
And
right.
They always phrase it as such.
Could it be
ancient alien theorists postulize, yeah. You know, like it's all like, basically this is a hypothesis. We're guessing.
Like that you said postulize instead of theorize, so we don't have to give the boys in Canada a quarter for their podcast. Good call. Yes, on that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. I was avoiding that. Alien Contact NASA Exposed doesn't bother with all that, you know, jazz. It just states everything is fact. Yeah, like, you know, this UFO crashed. Hitler took it. He reverse engineered it. And we'll get into the details, but it's so great.
And they're just using like pictures and propaganda films, and they're just talking over it and stuff. It's fantastic.
The way a documentary should be. They'll talk about like some rocketeer from you know, it wasn't Wernher von Braun, but like Wernher von Braun, but it'll actually be a picture of Hitler walking with like Rommel.
Yeah. Where they're showing the rockets they had, and they're just talking, he was known to have had 16 fingers and could talk to the Vril Society through osmosis. What?
I mean, you could literally get a subscription to like some sort of, stock. They, you know, how the stock video websites where you just go get stock video.
Yeah.
You could get a subscription to a stock video website and a decent microphone and make a documentary that's more informative.
Well, this motherfucker was Nazi and NASA R Us, because they had lots of Nazi and lots of NASA stuff.
That's true. On there. Never a straight answer. Anyway. All right. I guess we should probably get into the story.
Yeah. So, yeah, back to it. This wasn't just any crash, though, John, that we're talking about. I'm sure you've all heard of all of them. Well, this is the crash, as we said before. According to claims by people, the SS were quick to recover this downed vehicle. And true or false of a story, as John did say, Hitler did dabble in the weird. In fact, dabble is probably a vast understatement. Something like this happening would have piqued the SS's interest. Yahtzee, a fucking spaceship, or whatever fucking dumb shit Nazi fucknuts yelled.
Bratwurst.
Maybe. I don't know. But that one, you know, it rings true in my heart.
Cheese muffins.
I guess is what I'm getting at. It was then, supposedly, though, so they get word that a ship has went down. They go, they get it.
They say, hey, Fuhrer, there is a UFO down on the ground. Do you want us to go get it? And he says, yes.
Dynamic drop.
Just
in
very
there.
Calmly. but then they say, are you sure you don't want us to leave it there? And he says,
nine, 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 nine.
We're just
okay, sir. We get it.
We're
harkening back
we'll
go
to
get
our
it right
younger
now.
Days, John, when we were both in our 30s doing this show.
Oh, tear. Anyway.
So they go, they get this because
they do go get it, right?
He's at 9, and in secret, mind you, and they transport it to the main Nazi headquarters at Velsberg Castle, And some of the other top secret locations near Austria and this and that and the other. There's all sorts of places they said they took pieces.
They did this in such secret that if you Google it, you won't really find, you know, other websites that talk about it.
Right. Well, and speaking of this castle, you've probably all seen it. It's this famous, like, triangle, three-pillar tall building built in the early 1600s. Well, guess what? Now it's got a fucking alien spacecraft. Now what? Well, I'll tell you now what, John. I'll tell you, baby birds, I'll feed you. Party time! German scientists and engineers, they get started giving it the old Lazar treatment. What does the old Lazar treatment mean? Well, it means reverse engineering.
They signed a bunch of posters and sold them for 20 bucks a piece?
Yes, exactly. Means reverse engineering this craft, mother truckers. Come on now. And this is just a 3 short year burst before old WW2 started. And war is on their minds. Story goes, they worked fast to extract as much whatever technology that they could that they at least hoped they would be able to use to advance their war effort for the upcoming war.
God knows war is always on my mind.
That's true. At least he's on the up and up. Adolf and his band of merry fuckwads, as we like to call them, were already scheming, and they had their scientists were already hard at work making life shit for people and doing experiments on human beings and torture and all sorts of shit. So this, for better or worse, fits right in with, yes.
So far, if you're with us, the claim is that there was a UFO that went down. They spotted it. The SS went and grabbed it. They brought it back to a secret location. And now they are sucking all of the technology out of it. They are reverse engineering it and are going to use it to create... more Wunderwaffe.
Yeah, they're suckling at the alien tech teat.
Yes.
For a,
ooh, I like that. Alien tech teat.
Speaking of teats, thought experiment time. Not about teats at all. Let's assume this and stories like it, many of which we covered in here, to be true for a moment. You know, suspension of disbelief.
Sure.
Could they have contributed to the advancements of German scientists? Like, would you say that is... Would that have been, or would they have been so far advanced if you have a downed craft that there is no way at that point in time, and I know this is just a thought experiment because how do we fucking know? Do you think that scientists back then would have been able to unlock it, or would they have just been like, I don't know what this is? Because that factors into the story coming up, you know, and I don't know. It's a weird way to look at it.
Well, how's this? If in our thought experiment, these things happened, I think I'm probably fall more to they weren't able to unlock it, because had they been able to unlock it, they would have won the war. I mean, reverse engineering if they could have reverse engineered a PC from the 90s, they would have won the war. I mean, the advancement of technology just by 50 years would have turned the tide of the war.
You know, John Titor on their side. Otherwise, he'd been going to get the war.
That's true. Much less. but seriously, much less alien technology that could allow them to travel at speeds faster than the speed of light and warp and do all of this other crazy shit and weapons beyond measure of power. Yeah, they would have won the war.
Why do we always assume that's the shit and it's not just an intergalactic garbage barge that just had a
because you
function?
Have to have technology that's that advanced to get to us.
But what if it was just destroyed and it didn't have weaponry?
What?
I was just looking for an excuse to be able to say garbage barge.
I
don't put too much effort into your answer.
Garbage barge. Is that what was stuck in the canal?
No, that was a container ship at $10 billion a day, which is just a hard fucking figure to even comprehend.
The Evergreen.
Yeah.
There's so many jokes to be made there. Anyway, it's a fair question. I my opinion is that in this thought experiment, if they did have the technology, they did not unlock
right.
it.
Right. Well, at least we don't need the thought experiments to put on this suspension of disbelief, because we got eyewitnesses of sorts. All right, so here we go. Remember how this is all claims from the internet?
Are we talking about the Pope Pfizer?
Yeah, it's almost a claim from 2013. An unnamed author claimed in an online article.
Wait, you already got me. I'm in.
Already firing.
An unnamed author in an online article.
And I'll explain why I'm saying it these ways later in the show. You'll see it. But that he had recovered a pair of field glasses used by one of the SS officers on the night that the UFO crashed. Now, how would he know this info, John? Well, you simple-minded fool, by channeling through this item. Of course, he could do that. He was a channeler. Not only did he see the craft, there was a survivor from the craft. It's a lot easier to unlock the science secrets when you got someone there. What's more, hold on. You ready for this? You were wrong about that whole traversing space and everything. These occupants weren't alien. They were humans from the future.
Although I was pretty close on the Pope visor.
Yeah, well, the chrono visor, a Nazi, what are those called?
SS goggles?
Nazi blue blockers? One or the other.
My name is Adolf. I put them on as a shocker, man. I love Nazi blue blockers.
Six, one, half dozen the other, yeah.
Good Lord, we need a break. let's go to break. When we come back, what's all the fuzz with the Black Force in 36? What's going on? We're going to break it down even more. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
This is the kind of episode that makes you wonder what you're doing with your life.
Makes me wonder what you're doing with your life. I know exactly what I'm doing with my life.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts. Your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days. Joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria today.
If for some reason you're just joining us, which makes no sense because this is the podcast, you can start at any point in time, let's catch him up, John.
Brent, hold on. I need to address something that you said before the break. I said episodes like this make you wonder what you're doing with your life, and you said, no, it makes me wonder what you're doing with your life. That's fair. That's true. But do you ever look at CBOT and wonder what you're doing with your life? Because you must at least have that reservation.
I wonder what he's doing with my life, and that's more the scary part.
But you created him.
Well, so that's, you know, you created your son. He'll probably kill you one day.
Did you just compare CBOT to my son?
I mean, compare, contrast, one or the other. I don't know.
Robot.
All right, fair enough. Back to the show.
Back to our summation. In 1936, UFO crashed in the Black Forest of Germany. It didn't have cake or ham attached to it, unfortunately. So no one was really interested until the Nazis got it. Everyone's good buddy, old Adolf Hitler, ordered a full-scale investigation. Boom! The Nazis began reverse engineering the technology. Everyone's up to date, firing on all cylinders. Good, great, grand, let's get going. Scientists, including those like the Horton brothers, who were big into making airplanes, officers, everyone took jabs at it. They combined with occult influences, Vril Society, P.S., and early concept of quantum physics. This is all coming from the online, we're going to call them brochures about this, because someone online said so, and they developed the V2 rocket and countless other devices that seemingly came out of nowhere were because of this back engineering. It's almost
these stories crazy. Are kind of like Fordian Mad Libs. Right.
Insert V2.
We haven't inserted the Thule Society yet. Are we getting there?
Horton Brothers. Horton.
Oh.
Yeah.
We had the Vril. All right. Good. Good. Diglocka is coming next.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to do the undead? Mm-hmm. Are the undead part of this? I don't know. We'll get there. But we do have aliens. So let's go back to the ship.
Let's talk about the ship, John. Well, it's made from unknown materials to man. At least these men at the time, because
wait a second. It's unknown to us, but since there was humans in it, it's not unknown to man.
Exactly. Now, I say by materials, it's a metal or an alloy that they could not replicate. They tried to replicate it with no expense spared, and they did make saucers trying to use what they were coming up with, and it was unstable. And they made a lot of stuff. We're going to get into that. They were trying. The wah-wah was the war ended before they completed the work, all because the metal was not able to be recreated.
It's always the metal. This is another one of those places where there's a kernel of truth. Wait, I don't want to give away whether I'm a believer in the story or not, but the kernel of truth is the Nazis really were, there's film of it, creating flying saucers.
Yeah. It was, at the time, everyone was kind of experimenting with that.
Everybody was experimenting with flying saucers. Right. And whether they actually flew, they weren't worth a shit. They were big tubs that fell out of the sky. But the point is, they were experimenting with that. So you can latch on to that and say a whole bunch of other things.
Well, they say that they, in the whole experiments, they did finally made a metal out of aluminum and magnesium that came the closest. And they ended up with a ship that they compared to ball lightning. Makes you think of the Foo Fighters. It caused this electrical interference with ships. It flew at over 1,200 miles an hour. It was all very agile. And it's also all true Scout's Honor. Just ask the anonymous sources online that are telling us about this stuff. Holy hell. But like you said, kernels of truth. There were so many Nazi scientific advancements in this time period. A lot of times people like to blame other things. Let's talk about known things they did invent. The particle board. The V2 rocket, the V3E super gun. This was that gun that they would put, like, I don't know, hundreds of feet long barrels, and they could shell London from super far away. Enigma machine, the world's first jet powered fighter planes and bombers. Jets went from prop planes to jets. The Z series computers, tons of computers are coming out then, including their own programming language. Sarin
gas. The Pentium One. I made that up.
Sarin gas. There's a lot of different gases. Horrible shit.
Oh, Tabin. Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that with the Japanese experiment.
Unit 731.
Yeah, that's it.
Anti-ship missiles. Acoustic torpedoes, the Volkswagen Beetle. Then you get into the scary, scary, scary warmongering shit. Fanta Soda and Jägermeister. Both came out during World War II. You know, Fanta.
Oh, you forgot Baron Jager. Baron Jager, the honey-flavored one.
Real quick, Fanta came out because they couldn't get Coca-Cola anymore over there. So they started making their own soda using apple pulp and Fanta. Don't you wanna?
Huh. Interesting. I did not know that. Speaking of Volkswagen, did you hear the little brouhaha they've had over the last couple of days? Nation, we are recording this just after April Fool's Day, and the Volkswagen had to come out and say, no, we are not renaming our company Voltswagen, like V-O-L-T-S wagon. Because that rumor had been spreading around. Apparently, it was just like this marketing ploy that they were doing for April Fool's Day that nobody realized was a marketing ploy, and like they just like the entire world thought they were actually renaming the company.
No shit.
Yeah, I can't decide if it's like, you know, they say all no PR is bad PR. I'm like, maybe. Yeah.
Man.
I don't know. People are talking about them.
Yeah, right.
At least they're not talking about the fact that they used to be a Nazi company.
Yeah. Do you got any of those disposable lives we could use for our company? What do you call them again? Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, it's like a bear aspirin, you know. That used to be, IBG?
Farvin.
Yeah. I probably said that wrong, but they used to make those gases, and it's not good.
Yeah, IG Farben. Yeah, it was what they, you know, and that's Frankfurt, Germany. There are hot dogs over there. You know how it goes. Nazi disclaims, John, you kind of alluded to this. There's a lot of them, even though stuff like this that is just people are just saying it and they're anonymous. There's a lot of it that was true, like you had stated. The earliest nonfiction talk of Nazi flying saucers appears to have been an article which appeared in the Italian newspaper Giornale d'Italia in early 1950, and it was written by this professor Giuseppe Belluso. He's an Italian scientist and a former Italian minister of national economy under the Mussolini regime. He claimed that types of flying saucers were designed and studied in Germany and Italy as early as 42. And Belluso also expressed the opinion that some great power is launching discs to study them. Now, these are claims.
Every time he made these claims, he held his thumb to his ring finger and his middle finger and held them on both hands and held them up to the sky as he made these claims.
Thumb to his ring finger and his middle finger.
Do it and
thumb to my
now do it and start talking.
Oh God.
Hey, Belluso. Everybody, you're sitting there right now trying it.
Except for our buddy Phil Savaggio, who's already doing it.
Just naturally.
The same month, though, German engineer Rudolf Schriever gave an interview to German news magazine Der Spiegel, in which he claimed that he had designed a craft powered by a circular plane of rotating turbine blades, 49 feet or about 15 meters in diameter. He said the project had been developed by him and his team at B&W, speaking of German wartime fuckheads, Prague's works until April 45 when he fled to Czechoslovakia. And his designs for the disc and a model were stolen from his workshop in 1948, and he's convinced that the Czech agents had built a craft for a foreign power. And these are all things that they took at least serious enough that they were putting them out as serious. And then in 1953, Avro Canada announced that it had developed the VZ9AV Avro car, a circular jet aircraft with an estimated speed of 1,500 miles an hour. And German engineer George Klein claimed that such designs had been developed during the Third Reich. I mean, that's a lot of stuff coming out talking about this. And Klein identified two types of supposed German flying discs. He said there was a non-rotating disc developed by Bruce Lau and V2 rocket engineer Richard Meith, which was captured by the Soviets when Meith fled to the U.S. via France and ended up working for Avro. And then the disc developed by Rudolf Shriver and Klaus Hamburgmull at Prague, which consisted of a ring of moving turbine blades around a fixed cockpit. Klein claimed that he had witnessed the craft's first manned flight on 14 February 1945, when it managed to climb to 40,700 feet in 3 minutes and attained a speed of 2,200 kilometers or 1,400 miles per hour in flight. And there is no shortage of similar claims from people that were in those areas or could make these claims, but yet we don't have a lot of, we don't have these discs flying around to say, here they are.
Well, and also let's, like, these are just claims. I mean, you're saying that it went double, like 1400 miles per hour is double the speed of sound. So it sonic boomed in 3 minutes, went to 40,000 feet in 1945. Like, that does not fit with our traditional understanding of the technological progression of aeronautics, right?
So the first sonic boom was October of 1947 at 45,000 feet. Chuck Yeager. They're saying they beat Chuck Yeager by 2 years.
By 2 years. And also going straight up. They're going vertically, not horizontally.
Well, no. So they said they went to that, and then it could reach a speed going horizontally of 1,400 miles an hour in flight. So it wasn't lifting up that fast, but yeah.
But still, it was still, yeah, you're right. But still, going to 40,000 feet in 3 minutes is very fast.
Yeah. Not if you're a Nazi super weapon. Come on now.
Oh, no, my point is that, like, even these more traditional claims are still untraditional as it comes to our understanding
for what we
of,
no, like,
the
you're
development
exactly
of
right.
modern aeronautics. Exactly.
And these were written in bigger publications as fact. So yeah, it's crazy. Let's go to break and let's break down some of these claims outside of that. The more fun ones, the ones we like, the bullshit ones. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Playing.
Wait, there were some that weren't?
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
John, we got secret SS documents, anonymous writers. Why always this crap? When researching stuff, this is a common theme that comes up, and I'll find threads with people mentioning this topic online when I was looking it up. And one of the things that I found a lot were people asking where it came from, because they're like, okay, this is great, and you guys are talking about this like it's the gospel. Everyone knows about the Freiburg incident of 36 or the Black Forest incident, and, you know, the different things they call it. Can you show me where you're saying any of this stuff's coming from? And the common theme was, no, we can't.
That's because it's all copy and pasted from the website prior
You're
to
exactly
it.
Exactly right. There are no places seem to cite good sources or even shaky at best sources. It's just hearsay from the upspringing of the internet in the 90s. But
the author that wrote it in the 90s.
But plenty of people tell the story as gospel. Why is that the case so often? We see this on social media. Forget this part. Sharing without doing the smallest amount of research. Google search be damned. So-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And if someone shows a link sometimes that disproves something because they're just trying to say this isn't true, fuck those links. Well, guess what?
But before the proliferation of the internet, it was much harder to publish your bullshit, right?
Right.
You had to be in like a fringe magazine or a small, tiny print shop's publisher. You know, just every Tom, Dick, and Harry couldn't get something published. But with the advent of the internet, anybody can write anything at any time and claim it as gospel.
Interestingly, though, I think before the internet, when things did go viral, it was harder to get people to let go of them sometimes.
Oh, yeah, because if it was in print, it was true.
Like peeing on a jellyfish wound. Whoever made that up is my hero. Because it's not true. Just, oh, yeah, piss on that person.
Or peeing on an electric fence. That would shock you.
Or shoving one up your ass.
Yeah, you know, just come on now.
It's like the old Ren and Stimpy, don't whiz on the electric fence.
Why do people want to make Nazis seem so much more advanced? Is it a coping mechanism so we can deal with what happened? Is it just a fun lie? Is it all true? I mean, why, John? That's a big question. Why do you think people do?
Well, I have the answer right here. I honestly think that it's kind of the unknown. There's a mystery. There's an aura around the Nazis, like, because they can't be normal people because they murdered 6 million Jews and I think 10 million people. I forget the exact numbers. The normal groups of human beings don't commit that level of genocide.
That checks out. That's true. Yeah.
So people are trying to figure out how to explain it. And it's so much more explicable if there are forces outside of just human nature, and we all know that human nature is probably the worst force when used poorly. I think it's the mystique and the aura around Nazis. Like when you say just think about it. When you say when you talk about any of these Fordian topics, you talk about the spear of destiny. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, and I mean that was the spear that pierced Jesus. If that was real, it could hold some power. Then you say the spear of destiny held by Hitler, and somehow that adds 10 levels to it.
Yeah. I hate to use this because I don't want to put terms into people's mouth, but almost is like fun for people, I think, sometimes to pretend like they were so advanced and we still beat them, maybe.
Yeah, it's that, and it's also, remember the first time you said fuck aloud, like when you were like, you know, 6 years old and you figured out you could, and it was like, ooh, I'm not supposed to say that. Mm-hmm. What if I said it again? Fuck. Ooh, there's like a rush. I think, you know, I mean,
I'm
we don't talk about
hell now. Well, here we go. Yeah, yeah.
Adolf, how's it going?
Hey there, buddy.
We don't talk about Nazis because they were horrible, murderous fucks. And but if also it you know, the other thing I think, Brent, I think it is a veiled way for hateful people to talk admiringly about the Nazis too.
Sometimes, yeah.
Not all the time, of course not. Of course not all the time. I'm just saying there are certain people out there that use it for that.
Yeah. They're also, on the flip side of that, talking about, you know, advancements and things, we're looking at a time, there were all those airship flaps of the late 1800s. You know, the 19th century can't be overlooked for the amount of things that were in the sky before things were in the sky. Then during World War II, you know, things like I mentioned earlier, Foo Fighters, we got rockets galore going along, jet aircraft. Then you get into the stranger things of, you know, like the Nazi bell and things like that. People were at least, honestly, we know, seeing things that they couldn't explain. What those were, we don't know. The world is at war, and the people that are waging this war, be it U.S. Airmen and people like that, we're seeing things in the sky. That kind of brings me to look at what's coming out in the news now. Time for another thought experiment, so to speak. Let's forget that we have no proof and just look at this as an event that could have taken place. Let's say, okay, maybe. As time goes by, or forget even this. Let's look at, you know, other stuff. As time goes by, it seems more and more like a question of not if, but when will we find out disclosure or what's going on, or at least more of a narrative of what is out there because of the things that we've seen. We're seeing things in the news and reports from government agencies of UAPs that seem to defy our known understanding of the world around us, physics, known laws thereof, things like that. If an advanced race, thought experiment, is visiting us, and that is a big if, but bear with me. With the stuff we're seeing, is it a far cry to believe they could have been here in the skies 80 years ago? I don't know. For me, no. If that's what's really going on, could one have crashed? Absolutely. Possibly. But there's no chain of evidence and just hearsay. I can't take things like this at face value. Shame on me, I guess, or not. You know, that's my shortcoming, or not, depending on how you look at it. But, John, where do you fall on this? Do you fall on the line of thinking of now that you've said that you could see things maybe when we started the show, you didn't believe, and now you've said, oh, maybe. Where do you fall on that? Could there have been things in the sky that were of alien origin back then, even if it wasn't this?
Far be it for me to say never about anything, you know, because that's like a wide sweeping question. Even if it wasn't this, was there anything in the sky? I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
People were definitely saying they were seeing it, whether they were or not.
Yeah. And certainly some interesting, I think the we should eventually do the topic. The Foo Fighter reports are certainly interesting. A couple things. Going back to one of the questions you posed in there, you know, with you mentioned reports from government agencies. And just that phrase, I think, is something we could pause on. Government agencies can control the narrative.
Absolutely.
They can. That's inherent in the idea of disclosure. They have the information, and they're choosing where and when to disclose it.
We hope they have the information, at least. I hope they do.
Another reason that we know so much about all of the shit that fuckstick Hitler was up to is because their government fell apart. Their government died. Their government was torn asunder at post-World War II. We grabbed half of it, and the Russians grabbed the other half. So every document was analyzed. What the U.S. didn't want to keep for themselves and the Russians didn't keep for themselves, they made public. Every Nazi was interrogated. Like, that level of scrutiny has never happened to the American government, right? Like, so my point is, like, if the American government fell apart tomorrow and every person that worked in the American government was interrogated and it was all made public, we would learn about a lot more shit that they were experimenting with in the background.
Oh, of course. And probably that the Nazi shit didn't stop when the Nazis stopped. But yeah.
Exactly. But I think that goes to help explain why we associate the Nazis with so many things, because we know what they were working on. We don't necessarily know what other governments are working on. And then to your question about, could it have been out there? Sure. I just don't think that the stories that we hear around the Nazis and all of this fantastic bullshit, whether it be the Spear of Destiny, whether it be the Nazi Bell, whether it be the Black Forest UFO craft, I think all of it is horseshit. I think that people have glommed onto these greater ideas of just Hitler being into Freudian topics, and they're like, oh, here, I'll play my Mad Libs game here. And you know, that's what I was kind of alluding to earlier when I talked about the 90s, that a lot of the, like, people would just write books and go, yeah, I think this happened, you know, with citing sources, or citing sources that were anonymous.
Or in the ladies in the early 90s, their sources were the U.S. government telling them this shit because they were lying to them.
You know? Yeah, also very possible. So far be it from me to say that nothing anyone ever saw was real, but I don't think that the primary stories that roam around in pop culture, for the most part, are factual. But again, going back to the original point, it's so easy to glom onto because there were kernels of truth. We do know that Hitler was into the idea of UFOs. We do know that Hitler explored the occult.
You know, when a person tells a story about you and it's just false, and you're just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Think about if you're in these situations and you know that none of this was true, not this, just anything, and then you hear these outlandish, crazy stories, and you just got to be like, who the fuck is coming up with this? And then other people like, no, it's true. I'd bet my life on it. Like, geez.
Like you were a scientist in the SS, and in the Third Reich, and you were literally front line of the work they were doing to try to see if they could bring people back to life, and killing Jewish people and see if they could bring them back to life. And then you hear the stories of, and then they cracked it and there were Nazi zombies running. You're like, what? Wait, what? We did?
Well, that's when you're like, this is such bullshit, because like, there weren't Nazi zombies. We found three down craft, and they weren't futures. They were aliens.
They were aliens. They were gray aliens, specifically from Alpha Centauri.
Idiots. I just love the thought of just someone sitting there chewing on a fucking, you know, chomping on a cigar, just being like, these fucking idiots. Like the guy in the room that knows everything, you know, chomping on it and just going to town. I don't know. Those are our thoughts. They're rambling. And just like, guess what? This came from anonymous people on the internet, and people pass it around, and there's documentaries referencing it and stuff. And yikes is what I'm getting
at. We blame Angel Fire.
Yeah. And, thank God for the Wayback Machine, because a lot of times I can't find things. I just go looking on there, and it is so much fun.
Where is that server farm?
I know, right? Just how big is that server farm? You're right.
Right.
I don't know, John. Those are our thoughts. Where can they let us know their thoughts?
Go to Hysteria Nation. It is our Facebook discussion group. All you do is hop onto Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
And while you're hopping on Facebook, facebook.com/hysteria51. That is our regular page. And hop on Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. You can find Up All Nights, Mad Blurry Hysterias, radio dramas, all sorts of shenanigans. Voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. Instagram, again, it's your homework. Follow us on Instagram. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us some thumbs up on some photos and loves and talking and then stuff on there. Look up Hysteria51 on there. And if you forget any of this stuff, Hysteria51.com. Now, actually working, because I went through and made sure all the old episodes are updated and working. It was a chore. Enjoy it. I didn't. I had to manually fix them all. And everything is working on there again. So we are good to go. Kofopedia.com. It'll get you there, too.
The way you said that, I thought you were going to say, now with mint. There's now a minty flavor of Hysteria51.
Wintergreen.
I prefer spearmint.
Yeah. I think I actually like spearmint better, too. That's awesome. I guess I don't know like what the differences are. Like, if you were putting them in front of me, I wouldn't know what was what, but I just know.
No, and it also depends on what form they're in. Like, I like wintergreen lifesavers.
Oh.
But if you put a wintergreen flavor stick of gum versus a spearmint stick of gum, I believe I prefer the spearmint.
Form of water. Shape of... I don't know.
Have you ever actually had peppermint, like the actual mint plant
leaves?
Peppermint?
No. Uh-uh.
It's called peppermint because it's like almost spicy. It tastes minty, but there's like a peppery to it.
Oh, wow.
But it's not just a clever name.
Grew some in my garden. It's, yeah.
You chew on it? You just throw it in your mouth? Go to town?
Yeah.
On it.
Actually, what I did was I grew a bunch of regular mint, just like traditional mint, mm-hmm. and then I grew some peppermint because I'd never grown it, and I made this big batch of sun tea. I love sun tea. Put a bunch of bags of tea in, you know, mm-hmm. big glass jar, and let it sit out in the sun for a couple hours. And then you throw a bunch of ice in there and some fresh mint, some lemon. It's great. Refreshing. I did that and I picked mint from my garden. I was all stoked. I was like having a nice summer day. And I pour a big glass of it and take a huge draw, and I about spit it out, man. Like, it was gross.
Baby, come take a pull off this.
Oh, that's funny. I think I did that. I actually think I said, here, try this.
Lincoln, like, you're going to love it.
When the milk's gone bad.
Yeah.
maybe other people like it. I don't. I wouldn't recommend peppermint in your tea.
Yeah, there you go. Well, kids, that's been our thoughts on peppermint tea and Nazi shenanigans. That's it. I've been Brent.
I've been Peppermint Tea.
He's been Conspiracy Bud.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.